Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Cases, cases, fear, cases, more cases, a bit more fear, more cases. We're all terrified. You know, let's look at every aspect of COVID-19 when we talk about it. And sadly, when we look across Irish media, British media, possibly American media too, although it's a bit more mixed. And in fairness to English media, I'm going to play a bit of a clip in a second from English media as well, from UK Talk Radio. There is probably a little bit more balance as such, you know what I mean? In other words, you get all the good stuff and the bad stuff. There's bad stuff out there. And by the way, for one minute, I don't want anyone to ever think that I'm a COVID denier, because I certainly am into COVID denier. I certainly respect the fact that many people have died of COVID-19. Like any other virus in this history of this world, people die on a regular basis. Sadly, it's a fact of life, by the way, that we do die. We sadly die of cancer, we die of strokes, we die of heart diseases, we die of all different diseases, including influenza before COVID-19 came along as well. And COVID-19 is just another virus that human beings have to deal with in life. And we will probably have to deal with it for a long, long time, because I don't believe it's going to go away very fast. Some experts believe it could be with us for 20 or 30 years, possibly even longer. We don't know. We don't know how well the vaccine will work. We're pinning our hopes on a vaccine. There's a lot of talk about a vaccine, and maybe it is going to be a bit of a silver bullet. I don't know. Mind you, if we continue going the way we're going, and Padraig Tobin mentioned this morning, it'll take 48 years to vaccinate the Irish population at the rate we're going at the moment. Because, of course, the HSE in Ireland, you couldn't make this shit up if you even tried. They're only working 9 to 5, and they only work weekdays giving the vaccine. You would imagine if they thought the vaccine was the silver bullet, they would roll this out 24 hours a day. Wouldn't you imagine so, you know? Considering what the public have been through over the last 8 or 9 months, you would imagine they would have had this prepared, because they knew the vaccine was coming since September. So you'd imagine they would have had some sort of plan, but clearly they didn't. So they started yesterday in nursing homes. It turns out they had to get consent forms signed. That delayed the whole thing, and many nursing homes weren't actually even vaccinated yesterday when they started off, the most vulnerable people who we need to protect. So really and truly, it's like the tail is wagging the dog in this country. We have no idea what we're actually doing. And what I wanted to talk about today was not so much COVID-19, but I do want to mention some things that seem to be omitted constantly when we listen to news, when we listen to media, when we listen in general, watch Sky News or RTE in particular. And by the way, I reiterate yesterday what Father Sean Mulligan, I think was his name, wasn't it, Father Sean Mulligan? Yes. Well, he said yesterday in relation to RTE, we should be ashamed of the national broadcaster. We actually should be ashamed of them, because they have a duty to be impartial. And yes, I admit by times that I haven't been impartial. But the difference is, this is a caller-based show. If you feel that I'm not impartial, or you feel that I've said something that you want to challenge, you're quite welcome to call in and challenge anything I've said. And on many occasions, I've changed my mind. So in saying that, you know, they have a duty when they're giving out the news to be impartial and give you all aspects of the news. But they're not doing that. They're essentially now working for the HSE. They're essentially working for the government. And they're telling you only what the government are telling them. And the government are not always right. NPHET are not always right. Yes, they're right sometimes. Yes, they're wrong sometimes. So we really have to listen to all the information. And information comes from around the world. Like, for example, today we talk about schools. And I know many parents out there are worried about their children going back to school. Well, information has just come out. You're probably not going to hear this in the media, but this is from the Medical Research Council in the UK, who are contracted by the NHS. I don't want to read out the whole thing, all right, because there's a lot of figures involved. But basically, it's a study of 9 million adults, just over 9 million adults, under 65 and over 65, living with children. And the findings of this particular piece of work, or the interpretation of the whole work, I could give you all the figures in percentages if you really wanted it, but it's quite complicated. But the interpretation is, for adults living with children, there is no evidence of any increased risk of severe COVID-19 outcomes. These findings have implications for determining the benefit-harm balance of children attending school in the COVID-19 pandemic. So in other words, what they're saying is, for adults, there's a slight increase in risk for adults over 65 living with children, a slight decrease, believe it or not, in risk with the adults, because for some reason, by the way, I don't even know the reason why this is, when you have children, seemingly you live longer. I don't know why that is. Maybe there's some sort of environmental impact of it. I don't even know. Maybe it's just living with children makes you happier. I don't know. But anyway, generally speaking, overall, the general figures, the findings and the key findings of this particular paper are, the findings have implications for determining the benefit-harm balance of children attending school in the COVID-19 pandemic. And they basically said there is For adults living with children, there is no evidence of an increased risk in severe COVID-19 outcomes. Now, that's from, just in case anyone's interested, the source, that's the Medical Research Council of the UK, who was working on behalf of the NHS England. And they conducted a population-based cohort study using primary care data linked to hospital and intensive care admissions and death records. Okay, so 9 million people. That's a study of 9 million people. Big sample size, can't go too far wrong there, okay? And the other news there as well is the long-term impact of lockdowns and restrictions. It's all well and good to talk about stopping a virus, but what are the implications for people who are losing their jobs, their businesses, their employment? In America, they've done a study. Now, these studies are modelling studies, so they can be inaccurate. Either way, it could be more or it could be less. And they believe, this is a study, by the way, by the National Bureau of Economic Research, which was just released in December 2020. We estimate the size of the COVID-19 related unemployment to be between 2 and 5 times larger than the typical unemployment shock, depending on race, gender, etc., resulting in a 3% increase in mortality rate and a 0.5% drop in life expectancy over the next 15 years. They figure, listen to this, over the next 15 years, lockdowns and restrictions will translate into 890,000 deaths. 890,000 people will die either younger. Now, it's unquantifiable in a sense that what they're examining are things like, for example, during the lockdown, Mary or Jack might have ate a little bit more, might have drank a little bit more, mightn't have got the hip operation they needed because it was cancelled, might have done something silly and had an accident. In other words, because of lockdowns and the restrictions imposed on people in general, it reduces mortality. It could reduce mortality over 5 years, 10 years, but this study is over 15. Now, if you took that out and took that study out to about 40 or 60 years, it could be even higher because people might not live to 75, they might live to 73 because they didn't get the knee operation and they're unhappy. So all those things have to be taken into consideration. But our government and NPHET take none of that into consideration. Well, it doesn't seem that they take that into consideration. Well, what I wanted to play for you, I'm going to play a little clip for you, right? And I don't normally do this. It's another radio station, but it's an English-based radio station, UK Talk Radio. Well, I think I've been excellent, actually, throughout the whole pandemic. But anyway, this is Mark Dolan, and he was on yesterday before Boris Johnson introduced Level 5. And he was speaking to a caller, a man who had 5 children. And I want to talk to you today about the impact of not COVID-19, but the impact that lockdowns and restrictions are having on your life and how you are. I want to know how you are, because I can tell you, I'm fiercely depressed by the whole thing. Fiercely depressed by it. And I know you are too. And there has to be a trade-off in life, because health is not just about your physical health. And according to the WHO, by the way, health is about mental health and societal health, not just physical health. Have a listen to this.
Mick, can I ask you, I think you've got 5 children and you're a professional chauffeur. Can you tell me what you've been through as a result of these restrictions?
Hell, absolute hell, absolute hell. It's been so difficult, and you know, we just keep our head above water. Every time you get, you go back again, and it's just absolute hell. And I just, there's worse than me out there probably, Mark, but I just, sometimes you just think there's no end to it, you know? And the politicians don't give a toss. They don't give a toss.
Yeah.
And to see, you know, people like Morgan and that, you know, baiting people on TV like they do in the Koonsberg and Peston. And,
yeah.
You know, don't they think about people like us? And there's, look at excluded, the 3 million excluded. There's people, you know, they're losing their lives, there's suicides. And, you know, it's really hard, really hard.
And when you hear that another lockdown is coming, what are the implications for you, Mick?
I've been mourning, but that'll be it, I think. You know, I just think that'll be it. I'll just, every year locked down again and it'll just stop.
And it will destroy your business. And Mick, you've got 5 kids. Can I tell you that those 5 kids are among the luckiest in the country. They've got a very fine dad.
Now, that video was put up on YouTube and it was removed by YouTube. Removed. Because I'll tell you why. Anybody who goes on YouTube, who goes on Twitter, I've seen accounts on Twitter and on YouTube and everywhere else being suspended because people will not agree with governments and what they're doing to the people. The lunacy of this is, if you look, for example, and I'll just give you an abstract story. In Kenya, there's 50 million people in Kenya. 50 million, that's the population of Kenya. Right? One person died 2 days ago. Now, they've had, like Ireland, multiple deaths. They've had 1,685 deaths, which is nothing, by the way, in a population of 50 million people. When you consider in Kenya, they have bigger problems than COVID-19 with TB and all other sorts of diseases as well. 96,000 cases, 1,685 deaths. They're now in a lockdown, which was supposed to end on Sunday. It's now been extended till March with a curfew between 10 and 6 o'clock in the morning. They've extended that till March because one person died the other day. They made that decision. This is the lunacy of what's happening around the world. So 1,685 out of 50 million people. And I don't have the figures to hand here, but I can guarantee you the deaths from TB and many other diseases in Kenya are a lot worse than COVID-19. And yet they never locked down countries before. Why are they doing it? So they can get aid from the World Bank? Maybe, I don't know. Maybe it's a political reason. It's become political. It's all become political. And why people can't see that at this stage and the damage it's doing to people's lives is incredible. I want to know what damage it's doing to your life. I want to know how you feel. Are you okay with it? Are you one of those people who think, I'm fine with this. Yeah, I'm fine with this. Because here's the problem. The reason many people are okay with it, when you look at research and polls and, you know, say 30 or 40% of people say, oh yeah, I'm okay with restrictions, because it doesn't really affect their lives. There's people in this country, pensioners sadly are affected because obviously they have to stay at home all the time. But from a financial point of view, which is very important, financial jobs are very important. And from a financial point of view, pensioners are not affected financially, okay, generally speaking. Unemployed are not affected financially. They were already unemployed before COVID-19. Obviously, they're affected because they may not be able to get a job, but they haven't. Nothing has changed, is the point I'm trying to make. Public sector workers, they're not affected. If teachers are off school next week, they're not affected. They still get paid anyway. Okay, they'll do online teaching, but they still get paid. Nurses, doctors still get paid. Doctors or guards get paid. Everybody gets paid that works in the public sector. The only people really affected by this financially are actually a small percentage of the population, which is the private sector. People who have businesses, shops, bars, restaurants, they're being decimated. And that's why you don't see this. And a lot of those, by the way, are being bought off by the government. You have students. I know of one particular person who has a student son who was working on a part-time job and is now living in Spain on the 350 him and his girlfriend are getting from the state. And he's quite happy. So people are essentially being bought off. But that 350 doesn't cover everybody. If you've got somebody who's married with three or four kids and they had two good jobs and all of a sudden their jobs in the private sector are gone, they're snookered, aren't they? 350 just isn't cut it. But do you think Micheál Martin, Leo Varadkar, Simon Harris, do you think they understand what that's like? Do you actually think they understand what that's like? They have no idea. They're disconnected because they don't feel like that. They don't feel like you. I'm not saying there's badness in that. I'm just saying when Leo Varadkar runs down the stairs in the morning in his apartment or wherever it is, or he's not wondering if he has 20 euro in his pocket for diesel. He doesn't have to worry about stuff like that because he's still getting his full pay. He's still getting his expenses and he's still getting everything else. The same with Micheál Martin, the same with people in Neffet who are on really good money for the job they're doing. I could tell you, Leo was right what he said on Primetime. I wish he'd open his mouth a little bit more, but he was right what he said on Primetime going back about 6 weeks ago when he said if members of Neffet were on 350 euro or PUP payment every time there was a lockdown, they wouldn't be making the decisions they're making. I want to know how it's affected you. The number is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. And please, please, if you're feeling down or you're feeling depressed in relation to lockdowns and restrictions and your life being restricted, please talk to somebody. All right? Siobhan, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Siobhan?
Hey, Niall. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New... Well, is it a Happy New Year, Siobhan? It's a bit miserable, isn't it? But Happy New Year, by the way. It'd be nice to just use the cliche anyway. Yeah. So, Siobhan, how has it affected your life?
Well, to be honest, I was finished up a contract there in September, so I've been unemployed. So technically speaking, before that, I was actually working from home. So in as much as it didn't affect my life in the sense of I didn't have to get somewhere and I still had my job and I was getting paid and all that, I think it's going to be a bit more of a difficulty for me to get a job now in this climate, which will be the next worry I have.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at like my mother and, I'm just looking at her now. She's on her own. She sees people rarely, you know what I mean, in the sense that we know we're all kind of trying to stay away and, you know.
Yeah, she's limited human interaction, of course, yeah.
I mean, she'll see us and we get, like, you know, we can do shopping and stuff like that. And she was going out herself to do a little bit of shopping. So, but it's literally in, out, get, you know, go, and she's back into the house again. And I can see, like, I can just tell, you know, by her whole demeanour as well that it's starting to take a toll on her. she's kind of, you know, it's nearly like a what's the point kind of an, you know, that sort of way.
Yeah, because for elderly people, I know the head geriatrician out in Tala Hospital was on the air talking to us, and he was telling us for elderly people, they relied on, you know, going to communions and birthdays of the grandkids, or going out to bingo, or going to a dance on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon and a cup of coffee. They rely on those, you know, those little things to get out and interact with other people, and all of that is gone.
Even something simple like going to the shops, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, just, you know, yeah, instead of doing a weekly shop day, you know, you find that a lot of older people will do, they're shopping every day, and it's just for that interaction. It's that whole, you know, human contact, being out with people, seeing people and all that. And I just think, I really do think, like, they're so blinkered in this at the moment, that they're so caught up in, let's make sure nobody gets COVID, let's make sure, you know, we're trying to protect everybody. And don't get me wrong, that does need to be done. But it's as if we've just totally wiped out everything else that's happening, and the only thing that's important is COVID. What about the people who are dying of cancer, or the people who are committing suicide, or the children that are in abusive relationships or being abused, and women and men that are being abused in their homes because they're not getting out? What about all of that?
But you know what I looked at yesterday? I looked at the overall figure, that the money that was spent on COVID-19, $16 trillion, that's not including loss to economies, by the way, but $16 trillion has been spent worldwide on COVID-19. Could you imagine how many lives we could save with $16 trillion in not just places like the third world, by the way, and there'll be many more third world countries after this, but if you, say, put, you know, even half of that into cancer research, can you imagine how many lives, a third of the population die of cancer, for God's sake. So imagine how many lives you could actually save if you put that kind of money into other types of research. It's incredible how we're so focused on one thing.
Listening to what you were saying in your intro there about the HSE doing the vaccines 9 to 5, I mean, that should speak volumes to people. If they can't take it seriously enough to be doing, as you say, a 24-hour shift to get this out, is that not the priority? Is that not what the government are saying? Like, you know, we need to get a vaccine, we need to get this out so that we can stop these lockdowns. Yet, you're telling us that we can't go within 2 kilometres of your home or something. People are coming in from the UK, they're not being quarantined properly, you're trusting people not to go out in society and all this. And then you're telling us that they're doing a 9 to 5 thing on the vaccine. I mean, people are looking at that going, will you cut yourselves on? Like, you
know, I mean, we need to get that. I mean, whatever about you and me, Siobhan, realistically, I don't know about your personal circumstances, but I probably don't need the vaccine. I'm reasonably young. Well, when I say reasonably, I'm 57 and I'm healthy, right? You know, I'm at a very low risk. But the vaccine needs to be got to those people at the higher risk category. The ones that, because this vaccine is not going to stop infection. All it's going to do is reduce symptoms and reduce the possibility of somebody dying from it. So we need to get it to those people who are at risk.
Yeah.
And 9 to 5 is just not going to cut it.
Well, that to me, like, as I said, that speaks volumes. If, you know, you can't turn around and say to people, you know, we're going into another lockdown now and you can't do this, you can't see your families, you can't even stand in the garden or something like that. You know, this crap. And you're kind of going, yes, you're not taking it seriously enough, that you're not going to start doing this 24 hours a day and rolling shifts to get this done. How important is it then? Because you obviously don't think it's that important because you're not doing it.
And well, they've had since, I mean, we've known about vaccines, particularly the Pfizer one, since September. And the Oxford one as well. Yeah, so we've known about all these vaccines for the last 4 or 5 months. Why wasn't there a plan in place? I just don't get it.
Just even what you were saying about the nursing homes and the fact that they had to get consent forms. I mean, what kind of an idiot didn't think of that first up? Like,
I mean, surely they could have gave them out before Christmas, you know, to daughters and sons of people who were in those nursing homes to, you know, have a think about it over the Christmas or whatever and sign the bloody things.
If that doesn't speak of, let's just do this on the fly as we go and make it up as we go along, that to me is what that says, because you're not taking it seriously. If you were taking it seriously, you'd have every single dotted on every T cross, and you'd be going, yeah, we know what we need to do. When this vaccine hits, we're ready to go, we're ready to run, we're ready to rock with this. Not, oh crap, we forgot to get the form filled out. I mean,
and by the way, how we in relation to, obviously we're back in kind of level 5 again now, and they're talking about more restrictions. I don't even know what more restrictions they can bring in aside from putting somebody from the military outside my bedroom door.
Exactly,
but
yeah.
But I mean, I suppose curfew is the next step. I know they had that up in Northern Ireland over the Christmas period for a week there. We couldn't go out after 8 o'clock at night. But in saying that, Siobhan, how are you feeling to the restrictions, the lockdowns? Do they affect you, you know, I suppose from a mental health point of view?
I suppose, if I'm being honest, for me personally, it's not, they don't affect my life day to day, if you like, because I'm kind of, you know, I'm in my house, of course, my son is here with me, and, you know, I get on with what I need to do, and I have enough to be doing in my house at the moment. So
okay.
In that sense, it doesn't, you know what I mean? But what does affect me is the fact that I'm thinking, will I be able to go, like, will I be able to have a holiday? Like, you know what I mean? Will I be able to go away for a break at all? Like, there's nothing to look forward to. And you're kind of going, and that's a huge part of being, you know, just
of course, having goals,
exactly. You know, otherwise, what are you doing?
You're working. Well, they say you're either living to work or working to live. But stay there for a second. Let me go to Bernie as well. Bernie, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Bernie?
Hey, Niall. How are you?
I hate to be sounding really miserable today, but I mean, I just know this. When I heard that call yesterday in UK Talk Radio, I mean, the effect it's having on people's lives—not COVID-19, but the lockdowns and the restrictions.
Yeah, I know. Like I have a lot of friends and that are really down over the last year. Like, you know, they've gone through a lot of hard times. I'm kind of one of the lucky ones that it's actually been a positive year for me, if I can say that. And yeah. I know people listening are probably like, oh, whatever. But, like, this year has helped me, like, save up, like, 3 times the amount I would have if I'm able to buy a house. And, like, me and my partner, we're ready to go now.
Okay.
You know?
Because you're not going out to restaurants and cinemas and drinking.
We're not going to restaurants and pubs. And it's actually been a gift. Like, now, I have been, like, you know, supporting, like, local pubs by, you know, doing the takeaway stuff.
Yeah.
And like the local restaurants as best I can. But I've had like a good
Yeah, so it's kind of forced you into a situation where you have to, well, you are saving now and you're going to have your deposit for your house soon.
Yeah, and like a good mindset, you know, like I've started volunteering with a loan charity.
Yeah.
So I'm ringing this lady every week. And like, you know, it's just been really good for me. And like, I know it's really sad. Like, you know, it's heartbreaking to see all the businesses closing down. Like, it's
by the way, are you working yourself? You are working.
Yeah, I am working. I'm working in the public sector. And we're on reduced.
And by the way, when I mentioned the public sector earlier on, I wasn't having a go at the public sector. All I was saying was, you know, from a financial aspect, the financial point of view, they're not affected financially. And your job, your future is safe. You know what I mean? Whereas people who work in bars, restaurants, pubs, retail, they don't know what their future is. Yeah. And they're on 350 a week. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And like, I know like everyone, like the private sector, like hates the public sector because they think...
No, I don't hate you. We're just jealous.
We're just getting lots of money and all. Like, we're not, like, you know, the little people like me, we're not. Like, we're on like brutal wages. But everyone's looking at like the leaders and all and looking at how much they're getting.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there was even an increase in
October, wasn't it? Yeah, there was an increase in pay. Yeah, yeah.
And well, everyone's looking much, at that care and all them and going, like, it's disgraceful. But then it's the likes of me who are on, like, the bottom scale, you know, and that's helping us.
Yeah.
You know, and...
Mm. Okay, so, as long as it ends at some point, you're okay with it for the moment.
Yeah.
Okay,
And I saved a lot of money from not travelling to work and, like, not buying lunches and all that. Like, so... It's been a good year for me.
And by the way, I do want to hear both aspects of it. And I know people have, when I say not benefited so much, but it's forced them into a situation of safety because they've nowhere to bloody go, or you don't go on holidays or anything else, which for young couples who want to buy a house is probably quite a positive thing. But there is obviously the aspect that I mentioned at the start, Bernie, that you are in a lucky position working in the public sector, that you are not going to end up on €350 no matter what happens. And no matter what happens, your job is safe. You know what I mean? But unfortunately, for the majority of people in the country in the private sector, that's not the case. Most of those have been decimated. And I'm sure you understand that too, and you can see that. Because could you imagine if you worked, say, in a shop and you were saving to buy your house? You'd be on $350 a week at the moment.
That's why I have no gratitude of that. Like, that I changed from my old job to the public sector, and it's the best thing I ever did, because everyone that I worked in now, they're all gone from the job. They all took redundancies, and I know that they're going to be in a worse situation now.
I know. Well, the unemployment rate is going to be close to 20% or probably higher. Let me just go to Caroline as well. Stay there, please. Thank you for that, Bernie. Stay there as well, please, if you can, Siobhan. I just want to go to Caroline. Caroline, you obviously understand what Siobhan was saying earlier on about elderly people not getting to interact with others.
Hi, Niall. I do indeed. How are you?
I'm good.
I suppose I have an elderly man. She's 89, and my husband's mother is 90, and she has dementia. But I literally just heard that gentleman in the UK there when I was out walking. And I just thought, you know, I went to my mum yesterday, as I do every day, wrapped up in masks and gloves. And she just turned around, Niall, and she said, "What am I doing here?" She said, "What am I doing with this? I don't want to be here any longer." And what do you say?
What can you say?
You know, I tried my best and said, look, everything passes, which it does, as we all know, but... Why am I here witnessing this?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I here? And you know what? It broke my heart when I left the house, Niall. because like my lads can only look in the windows at her at the moment, and this has been the way for everybody since March, you know. But I think she changes RTE to Virgin Media and she goes back and forth. I say, stop watching the news.
So that's her whole day revolves around sitting there staring at a television.
Yes, it does. Because she's very, very sick mentally. She just has bad knees. So she's very, very, her brain is really, really clued in.
Okay.
So she's going from one to the other and wondering why she's here, basically.
Right.
Why won't Laura take me?
And what, I see, here's the thing, Caroline. I'm wondering, you know, what for an 89-year-old, what, I mean, in a care home, what's the answer? I mean, personally, I believe the answer is that every care home should be doing antigen testing so people like yourself can actually go into your mother and test you. Take 10 minutes.
In a little bungalow behind me, sorry. Excuse me. She's actually on her own in a little house behind where we're living. So she's living alone.
Oh, sorry. Okay. I thought you in a care home. I do apologise.
No, sorry. So, but she's relatively on her own via a carer that pops in and out, which, you know, fantastic. Kudos to the carers and all the front line. Honest to God. But I don't know what's going to happen. And I mean, it's going to kill elderly anyway.
And have you seen her, not only, I suppose, her mental health, but physical health? Because some people have said this to us about elderly people. They've watched their health decline. Now, of course, their health declines as they get older anyway. But they've watched it prematurely decline.
Yes. I think, you know, she was very ill last year and she pulled back from it physically.
Yeah.
And I just think that, you know, she went through the summer and I have to go in every day to her. I have no choice because I'm the only one here. And I just think that she's thinking, what's it all about now, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
What is she living for was kind of what she said to me yesterday.
That's really sad, isn't it?
And I stood in the garden and I said, the worst thing is I can't help her, really. You know, I can tell her this will pass and turn off the news. And I think you nailed it on the head there and I when I was walking, you know. The national broadcasters, they need to stop a little bit.
I couldn't believe, by the way, I don't know whether you, I mean, Siobhanis, I know it's still there too. Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, I said, surely they'll take a break just for 2 days.
Yeah,
they didn't. Oh, they were on the news both days telling us how many cases and many were dead. I said, you know, lads, 2 days, could you not just give it a break?
And they should, I know we need to know when we are informed, blah, 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 but, you know, there's never anything good. And the vaccine, as we all know...
I've given information there at the start of the show about, you know, the Medical Research Council of the UK in relation to children and the risk to adults. I've often given information there about the long-term effect of lockdowns and restrictions. They don't have any of this on the news. All they want to see is give you the miserable stuff.
Yes. And I don't know whether they are actually genuinely aware of the mental anxiety they're calling to the young, the middle-aged and the old. I don't know.
I mean, Siobhan, that resonates with you, Siobhan, obviously, in relation to the elderly. And this, again, is a problem that we have, that elderly people are actually saying to people, I don't want to live anymore. I'm miserable.
I think, I absolutely think it's disgraceful because as that lady just said there, what they're doing is they're giving you the doom and gloom picture all the time. They're scaring the life out of all people that even when the restrictions were lifted, they didn't want to go out because they were terrified they were going to get it. What they're saying is, saying it doesn't matter how many people died, that it's insignificant by any stretch, because I'm sure it's an absolutely horrendous thing for those poor families, not even being able to go to a proper funeral or anything like that. But when you look at the figures and you look at they're going
and we
on
put it into context time. And perspective, yes.
Exactly. And you look at it and you kind of go, we had this number of cases, but, you know, the deaths are relatively low for what we've had.
Could you imagine if we, because we talk about carcinogens all the time and what we should eat and, you know, red meat, too much red meat causes cancer, all these kind of things, pollution in the air causes cancer. Could you imagine if on RTE every day at 6 o'clock we went on and said, you know, today 30 people died of cancer, 22 people died of stroke, 17 died of heart disease. How miserable would that be telling us that every day?
Sorry,
Caroline?
I'm a cancer survivor. And I pray every morning that I get up that I don't find another lump.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear. I'm sorry to hear that, by the way.
I'm 6 years. I was on to you there before.
Okay. Oh, I do remember. I actually remember you now. I do remember you.
Yeah, I pray to God, not just for me, but for anybody like you're talking about, cancer, heart disease, not getting a diagnosis, not getting that cancer taken out of them. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
It's turmoil.
I know. I'm sure it is. But listen, I wish you both well, and I wish your mum, your mother-in-law, is it mother-in-law, isn't it, Caroline?
Mother, yeah.
Oh, mother, okay. And I wish you well. I don't have an answer for you. And I
neither
wish,
do I.
No, I wish people did have the answer. I don't know what the answer is, but I know the answer is not leaving them isolated and lonely. That's just not the answer either. That just can't be how people end their lives or their lives end. Listen, thank you very much indeed, ladies. And keep calling there, by the way. The number is 087-188-0008 if you want to text us or WhatsApp us. If you do want to call in and you want to come on the air, by the way, as well, you can. The number is 1850-410-494. That's 1850-410-494.
Niall, after listening to that English gentleman on the radio station, I can only fear about the amount of suicides that are going to happen in this country and countries around the world. The government need to stop the scaremongering and let's get on with it. Get the vaccine 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and none of this bullshit that they only work office hours. It's an absolute disgrace. Do they not hear the people that are suffering out there? Come on, Ireland, let's get this together.
Somebody wants to know, by the way, where did I get that research in relation to the evidence of children go to school? It's the work of the Medical Research Council. It's a published paper. It's online and it was contracted by the NHS England and it was only released there, I think, in the last couple of weeks. And it was based on a population of 9,157,000 adults. That was the sample size. Under the age of 65, living with children, 0 to 11 years was not associated with increased risk of SARS-CoV-2 infection. And then they talk about over 65, there was no association between living with children with outcomes related to SARS-CoV-2. We observed no consistent changes in risk following school closures. Also, the interpretation of the whole thing was, or the findings of this report, that adults living with children, there is no evidence of an increased risk of severe COVID-19 outcomes, and these findings have implications for determining the benefit-harm balance of children attending school in the COVID-19 pandemic. So if anybody says to you that we should close particularly primary schools, because obviously that's based on that particular age group, that we should close primary schools, they're wrong. There is no added risk to you living with a child going to school. None. According to this research. Now, I'm sure somebody will tell me there's other research that says the contrary, but if you've got one that has a sample size of 9 million adults, well, then I might believe it. Let me just go to Derek. Derek, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Derek?
Hi, Noel. How are you?
Derek, I mean, look, we can talk about COVID-19 and how that affects people's lives, but, you know, let's talk about the restrictions and the lockdowns and how that's affected people's lives. How has it affected your life?
Look, it's quite frustrating, you know, like I said in the text, like my wife passed away from breast cancer back in September.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. How old was she, Derek?
She was 35.
Oh, I'm really sorry to hear that. That must have been devastating for you and your family.
Yeah. You know, it's still taking it day by day with stuff like that.
Yeah.
And getting through to Christmas and what have you. But
time is a good healer. You'll never forget, but time is a good healer, you know?
Yeah. That's what everyone says.
Well, but, I know it's cliche. I know it's a bit cliche.
Some days are better than others.
Yeah. Yeah, I get you.
But like when my wife was alive, Holly, we would have, you know, gone out for drives and stuff on a Sunday and stuff like that to get out. And you know, you can't even do that anymore with checkpoints everywhere. I mean, you know, restricted to 5 kilometers and and it's just, you know, it's so frustrating, you know, looking at, you know, all the information that's out there and the fear that's being pushed by RTE and all the mainstream media. And you know, I just look at a lot of people and I just can't understand why, you know, I mean, you're walking around like zombies, not looking at what's going on and just following orders like it's, you know, it's really
have you got children, Derek?
Yeah, I've a son. He's 4 and a half.
Oh my, he must have took his mammy's death very hard.
He's still young enough, you know, not to get certain things, which in some regards I think
it's probably a good thing. Yeah.
And it'll be probably when he's older, it'll, you know, when he's going to school and stuff and seeing, you know, other children with their mummies, it'll probably kick in. But
And how is your work situation?
Well, it stops. Look, I'm a mechanic, so I have my own business.
Okay.
And obviously with the lockdowns and nobody driving to work.
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah, the people are not really using their cars as much as they used to, no.
Exactly. So, look, until their NCTs roll around and something is found wrong, well, then they're going to get it fixed. But other than that, you know, the annual servicing has gone. So, you know, it's a struggle to keep a business functioning.
Yeah.
Because all the debts are still there. All the rent, the electricity, all the bills that go with the business still have to be paid.
And are you getting any, are you getting any help with that from the government?
There was a grant you could put in for to pay for the likes of your commercial rates, but yeah. It's really just given a set of money to hand back over.
Of course, yeah. I know what you, like, know what you mean.
As soon as the last lockdown had finished, the council are on saying, well, you owe last year's rates and this year's rates.
Yeah.
So, you know,
But you're managing, are you getting by, are you getting a few quid, or I mean, from the state, or are you still getting to do one or two cars a week, or how's it working out for you?
When my wife passed away, I've kind of only really gone back in the last...
I'm sure it was very hard for you, but particularly with a young son.
Yeah, you know, like.
And how are you, by the way? Are you okay, Derek? Yeah,
I'm more frustrated looking at you know you can see where things are going when you see lockdowns hitting in England and you can see where they're going here, where they're not gonna open the schools up. You can see that's where they're going.
And you know, and from the evidence I've just read there a minute ago, that makes absolutely no sense to destroy children's education any more than we've already destroyed. It makes no sense.
Yeah, look, my brother's living over in London, and he was saying that the school, he had to go to the school to get a laptop. And I said, well, sure, you can see what's happening there. They're not going back to school. And then lo and behold, it gets announced that they're not. And you can see they're gearing up for that here. And as you said, there's no evidence.
No.
You know, like if children were transmitting it, you would have seen it when they went back to school.
But there's no doubt children can, when I say children can get it, children, there's no doubt, I mean, the news this morning, they mentioned the amount of cases of children who test positive. But thankfully with children, the vast majority, and I say vast majority, I don't know the actual percentage, somewhere around 85 or 90% of children don't actually have any symptoms. So the vast majority of children, no, and by the way, just in relation to children dying, somebody texted earlier on and says, Niall, children have died in this country from COVID-19. No, they haven't. There's no child under the age of 15 has died in this country from COVID-19. Not one.
Yeah, and like when you look at the statistics that they put out, so many case numbers and then so many people in ICU, there's no other data to go with that. Like, what are the people in ICU for? Have they got underlying conditions? What are their age groups?
The majority of people, and I've said this before, the HSC won't answer this question for us, even though we've asked them, but the majority of people that are in hospital, as they'll give you the figures every day for ICU and hospital with COVID-19, the majority are in there for other reasons, but have tested positive for COVID-19. Because if you look at the wording, it's very carefully worded. It says, are in hospital with COVID-19, not from COVID-19.
And everyone... Lots of people don't hear that. They just see the numbers. Mm-hmm. And, you know...
You might as well be saying, you know, so many people, or what, a percentage of people, not all of them, obviously, a percentage have brown shoes on. Do you understand what I'm saying?
It just pushes... And the way I look at it at the moment, I just see it's been nearly kept going. So everyone... There's only a small window to get out of this for people. And it's this magical, untested, rushed vaccine. And you know, and I think people are going to.
Well, they will, you know, take it because they want to get back to normal, don't they?
Yeah. They want to go back to normal. Yeah, they want to go on a holiday. I think the last caller was saying, no, there's nothing to look forward to in regards.
I mean, I'm very pro vaccine, but like everybody else, I'm very cautious around a vaccine that came in very quickly. So, but I am pro vaccine. I always have been pro vaccine. But when I see a vaccine being rushed, like everybody, you know, I'm cautious.
Yeah, and I think it's right to be, like, you know, like if you're in a restaurant and you ask the chef what ingredients are in his dish, he's going to be able to tell you. But you ask your doctor, and they haven't got a clue sometimes, you know. So I kind of look and I kind of go, well, you know, it's massively rushed. It's new technology, and you know, we're being pushed in a direction of this is our only way out. And you know, maybe hopefully it will work, but I'm very sceptical.
All right, well, listen, I wish you well, Derek. And again, condolences on the loss of your wife at such a young age, too. And I wish you well and a great future with your son. I hope everything works out for you, all right? Pat, you're on Classic Hits. I believe you're on to give out to me, but that's okay, Pat.
Well, first of all, my condolences to the previous call that you're
doing. I know, shocking. Imagine losing your wife at such a young age. Yeah,
it's a terrible story. And next, I don't have all the answers before I start.
I know.
I was going through the towns there one night, Niall, and this World War II vet, I think it was on Sky News, and he was a veteran from World War II, and he was giving out hell about the young people of Britain. He said, well, we went through during the war, and all they're asked to do is wear a mask and keep their distance. I thought he had a point.
I know, he does have a point, if that was all people are being asked to do was wear a mask and keep your distance. There's more to it than that, Pat.
There is. There's more to it than that. But there's over 3,000 people that died on this island.
There isn't 3,000. There's 2,200.
I'm talking about Northern Ireland.
You're talking about the island of Ireland.
The whole island.
Okay.
When you consider how many people died during the 30 years of war up in the north.
Yeah, but you can't really compare COVID-19 to World War II, with the greatest respect. The amount of people who died in World War II.
I know, but the sacrifices they made and
for a minute, I don't want anyone to think that I don't believe that, particularly if you're over the age of 70 or 80, and those in care homes who are most vulnerable, and get COVID-19, it can be quite dangerous. Now, I do want to reiterate, the majority of people, even at that age, who get it will survive, right? But many will die. And I understand that. I don't want to downplay that. But we do have to protect those people, which I think we're failing to do miserably, right? And protect them properly and still allow them some quality of life. But for the rest of the people under the age of 65, and the data is quite clear on this, Pat, that under the age of 65, influenza is more dangerous.
Well, you're beginning to sound like Trump.
But are you in denial, Pat? Because
I'm not in denial.
Okay, but that's a fact. That's actually a scientific fact. Under the age of 65, influenza is more dangerous than COVID-19.
Well, okay, I'll take your word for it. Okay.
And that's in relation to what they call the fatality or the mortality rate, and the fatality ratio is what they call it, or mortality fatality ratio, infection fatality ratio. Sorry.
Well, I'll give you a figure. In America, there's near over 300,000 people that died because of COVID.
That's right.
And what
you're doing is, and I'm not having a go at you, Pat, because the media talks about this all the time and the way they word things. The way you worded that, and you said 300,000 people or whatever it is, the figure in America at the moment, have died because of COVID-19. That's not the case. 300,000 people died and they all had COVID-19. But that doesn't mean they all died because of COVID-19. They happened to die with it. Let me give you an example. And this was brought up in the Oireachtas Committee a while ago. Let's say you test positive for COVID-19 tonight, okay? And I hope you don't, by the way. Because many people can be very sick from it. But let's say you do. And let's say you have no symptoms at all. You're asymptomatic. And for the next 28 days, you know, you're grand. Everything is fine. And let's say in about 2 weeks' time, you get hit by a bus you're walking down the road and you get hit by a bus. And you end up in hospital and you die. Do you believe that you should go down as a COVID death?
No.
Will you do?
Well, you sound like a bit like Trump trying to cover.
No. I'm only giving you an example of how silly sometimes data can be.
Oh, I know.
But you will be on the news, not personally. They won't mention your name, obviously, but you'll go down as a COVID-related death.
Yeah, but this whole thing is, I mentioned to you last April when I called you, Mother Nature. It's Mother Nature coming back to bite us.
But Mother Nature's always been there. We've had. If you go right back to the Spanish flu, but we've had other flus. We've had swine flus. We've had all sorts of pandemics. We've tuberculosis. We've had many diseases. Mother Nature has always had a good go at human beings because we're fallible.
This time, if we keep kicking her, she's going to kick us harder.
How are we kicking Mother Nature?
Oh, we're messing with animals. That's where this disease came from. We're messing with animals.
Well, that's one of the theories, isn't it?
Oh, come on.
Well, I mean, there's a few theories out there.
There's AIDS. Now, take AIDS, for instance. Somebody did something to a monkey.
Well, I don't even know. Now, I think that's actually an urban myth. I don't believe that's even true. I heard that many, many years ago. I remember looking it up at one stage, and I don't actually believe that's true. But it could be. I don't know. What I'm saying is, these things happen in life. And as human beings, you know, we are just built up of water and biological cells. We're not infallible. Unfortunately, it's a fact of life that we die, usually around 82 years of age. You know, and we have to be, you know, adult enough to be able to have a conversation about death and the fact that we can't save everybody's life all of the time. That's just the way it goes. But Pat, what I'm concerned about today is, I'm concerned about COVID-19, but I'm also concerned about the damage that restrictions and lockdowns and telling people to stay in their homes and people losing their jobs and businesses and futures and the damage that's doing to people's mental health, which is equally as important.
I agree with you, and I'm no fan of the government, believe me. But what's in it for the government? They're losing. They're
not losing anything. What do you mean, what's in it for them? They're not losing it. They're losing. They're not losing. They still get paid every day.
Well, I know they're in that part, but they're looking at all the money they're losing in taxes and all the money they're...
But they're borrowing at 0% interest. Actually, they're not going to have to pay it back anyway. They're in well-paid jobs in the government. They're disconnected from the people. They don't understand that.
Well, yeah, I agree. That part of it, yeah. But somebody's going to have to pay the piper someday.
Well, you're right. Yeah, austerity, like the last time round, it probably passed. But look, Pat, I take on board your point, and I certainly don't want people to think that I downplay the fact that those who are vulnerable and get COVID-19 can possibly die. I don't downplay that at all. Linda, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Linda?
Niall, I feel like I'm ringing back an old friend. We haven't spoken since the last lockdown.
All right. Hi, Linda. It's lovely to talk to you again. You're still with us.
I know. We both survived. That's the main thing, you know?
You're an SNA.
I am, Niall. I am an SNA. We don't want to leave the children that we work for, but at the moment, vast majority of SNAs and teachers don't want to return, for the simple reason it's not safe. And it's not that the children, like you're saying, they've cut PPE by 40%. It's simply dangerous for them to send us back with the level of COVID as high in the community as it is.
Right.
Yeah. So I understand that the levels are low with children.
But the risks, I mean, you did listen to what I said earlier on about this findings from the Medical Research Council.
Yeah.
They said adults living with children, this is under the age of 12, there's no evidence of any increased risk of severe COVID-19 outcomes, and the findings have implications for determining benefit-harm balance of children attending school, which I'm assuming is the same as dealing with SAs and special needs, the COVID-19 pandemic. And that was a sample of 9 million people.
Let's say, for example,
there's no evidence. I'm not having a go with you, Linda, because
I love you
all. But what I'm saying is there's no evidence that if you go back to school with young kids, you know, working with young kids or teachers working with young kids, you have more of a chance of getting COVID-19 in your local Aldi shop than you will working with those kids. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's no increased risk.
Bowers, I think, said the week of Christmas, the second highest level of outbreak was in schools as opposed
Absolutely. By the way, I'm not dismissing that. I'm not dismissing that children get COVID-19 or will test. Now, that's actually, children will test positive for COVID-19. Mm. Absolutely. But the vast majority of children don't actually have symptoms.
No.
And thankfully, children don't die of it either, by the way, which is a great thing.
In that regard, that's what worries us. So why does
that worry you? Dr. Fauci himself,
I'm in a class that has, I'm in an ASD unit, I won't say where.
Okay.
We can't social distance, so the children are climbing on top of us, sitting on our laps, etc.
Okay, I get it.
We can't, I'm wearing a mask, as are my colleagues, but these children can't wear masks and we can't social distance from them. My worry's not automatically me. I'm in my 30s, I'm healthy, I'm well. Some of my colleagues are near retirement age and they've underlying conditions. They're vulnerable people. They're living at home.
And I get that, but I think we all have a personal responsibility in this. If you're a vulnerable person, you have an underlying condition. Once you're under 65, you're probably okay. But if you have a serious underlying condition, I think you will have a personal responsibility, and the government should support you in this, to step back from your career.
If you're
with the general public, yes.
I think as well, Niall, if they kind of gave us a little bit more than what they're doing at the moment, if they reverse the cut to the PPE, if they gave us, we've no subs, so if I go down with COVID and my bubble, anybody else that's affected, we're all going down, and then they change.
Can I ask you a question? And I don't mean to be a smart arse, and I asked one of the teachers this yesterday. Did you get the flu vaccine last year?
I did, and I got
it. Okay, and fair play to you, right? But many teachers that I've spoken to and many people who are concerned, I say to them, did you get the... And by the way, I'm not comparing flu with COVID-19. I'm just... the reason I'm doing this, I'll get to in a second, is that if you got the flu vaccine last year, well, obviously you care about your health and you care about the fact that you may catch the influenza, which is, by the way, quite dangerous in itself, all right?
Mm-hmm.
But many of them say, oh, I care about catching this, I care about catching that, I care about public health, but I didn't bother getting the flu vaccine for the last 10 years. And I said, well, you don't really care that much so then, do you, really? Because realistically, when you look at the evidence, and I have in front of me here the findings of this particular report, which has just been released in the UK, right, of 9 million people. And I could give you all the percentages, but I don't have the time to go into it all there. The findings are very clear. Adults living with children, I'm assuming that means teachers working with children as well, because, you know, I mean, you probably as a teacher or an ASC, working in an ASC unit or as an SNA, you would have more chance of getting it off another adult you're living with than a child, because children are generally asymptomatic, right?
Mm.
Adults living with children, there is no evidence of an increased risk.
Yeah. See, I don't know, Niall. I mean, I'd rather, for starters, what they could do, if they want us to go back, most of us would like blended learning, half in, half out, or something. We don't want to go back to the days of March, April, because parents were tearing their hairs out. They couldn't cope even at or working at home and trying to, you know, teach the children with distance learning. But even if they reverse that cut, Niall, that'd be huge, because as an SNA, I need that PPE. I need to change
that. I know, and I get that. And by the way, you should be supported in anything that you need.
We should.
And absolutely.
To be honest, we're 13th on the vaccine list, Niall. Who made that? Like, who made that list? Now, I'm not saying I don't deserve that ahead of doctors, nurses, the proper front line. But if you want us to continue doing what we're doing, sure, give us some sort of a priority. But 13th on the list, Niall, I don't even think they'll get to us this year.
Yeah, okay.
Like, they really won't.
All right, okay, you know what, and by the way, you know, I'm not going to disagree. The government, as I said earlier on, I think it's like the tail wagging the dog at this stage. But anyway,
oh,
look.
Shocking.
Linda, thank you very much indeed for joining me. And by the way, once again, it was yourself, wasn't it? That it was your grandmother had passed away there, didn't
you? Yes, Niall, you're so good. If you remember, yeah.
I do. And my condolences to you, by the way, because I can't remember whether I spoke to you after. I know you'd been on when she wasn't well.
I think I might have, but okay. It was her first Christmas, obviously, without her. So
yeah,
it was strange. But you know what, Niall? When you see what we're facing into again, and I honestly do believe she went downhill last March, and it was because of the lockdown.
I remember you telling me the carer ran, unfortunately I'm running out of time, but the carer ran out of the room as soon as your mam, who was caring for her at the time, coughed or something like that. I remember. Listen, Linda, condolences again, and listen, thank you.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic Hits.